Hey everyone, Zephan Blacksburg here, and this is the Life Rescripted Virtual Summit. Welcome to my interview with Susie Miller, and Susie is known internationally as the Better Relationship Coach. She is an author, speaker, and coach. She is dedicated to helping you create better relationships in 30 days or less, even if you're the only one who is making the effort. As a therapist turned coach, Susie equips high potential entrepreneurs and executives to reduce stress, improve communication, increase intimacy, and not bankrupt their relationships in pursuit of profits and success. She believes relationships are the currency of today, so creating better ones is vital to success in all areas of life. She's a best-selling author of Listen, Learn, Love: How to Dramatically Improve Your Relationships in 30 Days or Less. For over 20 years, she helped people not settle for mediocre relationships with God, themselves, and others. Susie is a cancer survivor, and her story includes overcoming numerous life challenges, but she's known for her outlook on life as a possibilitarian. That's a mouthful. Possibilitarian. Susie has been married to John, a lifelong entrepreneur, for 32 years, and they have three adult children and live in the DC area, not too far from me. And she's hanging out with me today. What's going on?
Hey, Zephan, that's like I'm listening to you read going, boy, that's long. The older I get, the longer it gets, the more I've done. When you hit your 50s, your bio just goes on and on.
And you kind of have to be like, well, when did that happen? Like, because then you start to forget stuff. And so I've kind of been pretty excited for this because it's a far different talk from any of the other people we've had, and we're really diving into relationships here. And there's one thing that I have been fairly open about to many people just in my journey over the last year, and it's that I was in a two-year relationship and I exited it, and a lot of the things that were going on in that relationship were stressful because I was running a business. I was right. 1 year into, she actually, we were dating since I left my full-time job to start that business. So I found a lot of things happened, and the relationship dynamic changes as you A, become an entrepreneur, B, you know, actually get the business off the ground and running, and C, when you finally settle in, you've kind of got to reevaluate where you're at. So I'm curious to hear from you, some of the things that you teach people in creating better relationships with their spouses, whether they're A, you know, in a relationship, or B, actually married.
Well, and you and I in our little pre-chat chatted about the fact that what we're going to talk about goes across all relationships. There really is some basic principles I work with everybody. I do specialize in entrepreneurs and executives because I think it's the only time there's something else we share that has that love of our, like, it makes us excited. Our eyes light up. We can be consumed by it like you were when you first fell in love. And so for anybody who's dating or married to or in a significant relationship with an entrepreneur, they are always sharing. And how do you be mad at the very thing that's giving this person you care about joy and or providing for a lifestyle if you're married with kids? And so it's this very odd, you know, very odd interplay and connection where you have to be supportive. And how do you deal with that jealousy of you seem excited about the business and we haven't talked about me for 3 days?
Yeah. And so I guess it begs the question to start at, you know, let's say, for example, me right now being a single person, are there certain things that I should be looking out for when I am searching for a relationship to make sure that it can be at least have a better chance at being successful with the circumstances that I've been placed in of not working a typical 9-to-5, of sometimes having late night, you know, 3 a.m. projects that I've right. got to do? Is there something that I should be either looking for or certain questions I should be asking?
It's a great question, Zephan. So two things occur to me. First, with all of my couples or all of my, and I don't, just not married or unmarried, anybody who's in a relationship together, we do what's called a DISC personality assessment. And that's where you get to know your strengths and tendencies. So you go in knowing a little bit more about each other and where your inevitable clashes are going to be. Because in general, we tend to be attracted to people who are really different from us. And that's one of the biggest things for entrepreneurs where you end up with that big clash. So entrepreneurs are risk takers. They're all about, you know, solo, high flying, let's just, you know, go for it. And they tend to be attracted to people who are very grounded and very steady because it's a bit like a tether for the kite. And so that's so fun in the beginning. And then the person who's real steady loves the adventure person. They're like, sure, I'll ride on the roller coaster with you. Sure, I'll ride on the roller coaster with you. But they get mad that life is a constant roller coaster. So you have to begin to learn kind of who you are and who they are and then how to mesh that. So I hate to say only look for one certain person because I, in my experience, the heart loves who the heart loves. And you have to be aware that that could be the very person who loves security and steadiness and predictability. And so in those kind of couples, I work with how to talk to that person, how to set up your lifestyle so that they get it, so they're not riding the roller coaster every day with you. I mean, entrepreneurs love risk. They love adventure. They love the roller coaster. And steady folks are like, yeah, let's visit once a year. You know, I don't want to be at the theme park all the time. And so one of the things I talk about is, do you know each other and how to approach conversations that might be tough? So that's one thing. The other big piece I think you have to look at is there a solid foundation of respect and friendship? You know, if somebody is going to even disagree with you, do they do it with a sense of contempt or disdain or criticism? Or are they able to say, you know, I can have my own personality be different from your personality, and together we can move forward. That's a huge piece of it. So I look for, are they secure in who they are? Do they like their life? Are they positive? Are they opportunity-driven people? Because even steady people look for fun and opportunities. Or are they like glass half full people or half empty people? Those are not people you want to be involved with as an entrepreneur, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, I've also found sometimes you have trouble with relationships that are already occurring because, for example, you know, while I might be single, I'm sure there's plenty of people listening or watching who are in a relationship. Now, if they haven't taken it to the next level and aren't married yet, there's probably a lot of things running through their head. They want to know that that roller coaster isn't going to happen for the next 40, 50, you know, lifetime of years. Yeah. And so what has to happen if, say, you are in a relationship and you've noticed that it started to go downhill and it has sort of taken its toll on you, you know, can it be salvaged, and what sort of things have to happen there to change it?
Well, as you said in my bio, I am a possibilitarian. So hope is kind of my thing. And so it takes a lot for me to say it can't be salvaged. But one of the things I think is really important, Zephan, is to realize that if your personal relationships are stressful and struggling, it is impacting your business. It's impacting your bottom line. It's impacting your ability to be effective in your adventure as an entrepreneur. And I think we try to segment it off and we don't realize how much spillover there is. So I love that you actually got to a point where you were saying this, the return on investment of my relationships killing my business return on investment. And so that's one thing to look at and go, well, you know, is there a place where I'm really giving up success and profits because my relationships are so, this particular one is so stressful. And I think that you kind of get to a crossroads. The hard part for me is most people don't look for help or coaching until they've hit a crisis. And I love to work with people on the front end and say, here's some things you can put into place to help that. So one simple thing would be to talk about the boundaries, the things that you're, let's say, we'll use your girlfriend, we'll use you, that your potential girlfriend loves about being involved with you. You know, do they love the freedom? I was working with a client the other day and he said, you know, my serious significant other loves that I travel, except for she's stuck in a job. So is she able to make some shifts? And we've got kind of crafted an exit plan for her so that she could travel with him and they could love to travel together. You know, so it's looking at how your lives can mesh, looking at what you can do to really meet the needs of both parties. I think the hardest part is when one person is stuck in what they think is a rut and they watch their entrepreneurial love just have a ball, you know? So I think in terms of salvaging, a question you could ask is what's going well? You know, where do you feel like I understand and hear what's going on with you? And another thing I love to do is I do what's called the reverse. So let's say that your girlfriend was upset about the fact that you were taking on a new venture. And you had tried to convince her that this, you know, relaunch summit, you know, or life rescripted summit was the best idea. And she's kind of really putting you down. One of the things I do with my couples is I say, okay, take the other's point of view. If you, Zephan, can make all the arguments why you shouldn't do it, and she can make all the arguments why you should, you kind of literally step into each other's shoes. And you begin to really do two things. You understand the other person's perspective better, but more importantly, you show the other person, I hear you. I get what you're saying. And, you know, I've done that a lot of times where it's just kind of a back and forth. You know, you would make an argument, I would. So I might say to you, you know, this life rescripted seminar or summit is going to take way more time than you had told me originally. And I'm frustrated that we won't get as many date nights. Pretend that. So that would be me saying, here's why I shouldn't do it. You would then say, well, here's why I should. And so it really allows you to have this meeting of the minds. And it, what I have found it does is it kind of shakes out like a sieve all the non-essentials and you get to the one or two big ones.
Yeah,
Does that make sense?
because well, here's what I found, at least in the years that I have dated, has been that more often than not, and I don't know if this is like a female versus male thing or whatever it is, but the problem at hand is never what is being stated up front. And you tell me whether it's like a men are from Mars, women are from Venus thing, or if it's just, I don't know, maybe I'm just a very realistic and logical thinker. Like, if I'm pissed off about something, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm pissed off about and why I'm pissed off.
Right.
But what I've found, at least in my relationships, has been they'll get pissed off at me, and then we fight for like 3 hours, and then I'll find out like 4 days later what the real thing was of like why they were upset. And then it's like, really? Like, it was just that? You know, and then it's like then it's a simple discussion. So is that something that's common too? Is that a lot of people have trouble getting to the meat of what the actual argument is?
I would say yes and no. Yes, because we're often afraid of how it will go. So we beat around the barn until we get to the real meat. And I do think it's a little bit men are from Mars, women are from Venus in that realm, because there is always for a woman, and I'm trying not to be totally stereotypical here, but there's this idea of how's this going to affect our relationship? So if I really tell him what I'm upset about, it could, crash and burn. But if I tell him these three other little things, maybe we'll get there. So it's a little bit of, not bringing up the real issue. The other thing that happens a lot, Zeffen, in relationship discussions, or we used to call them discussions when our kids were little. I've been married, like I said, for 32 years. And one day my teen came to me and she goes, she was tween, so maybe 10 or 11. She goes, "Mom, we know they're arguments. You can call them discussions all you want, but they sound like arguments." So I had actually was talking with a couple on my podcast, and they call them robust conversations. So one of the things that happens often is, and you might be able to relate to this, you're talking about what's making you angry, and I will call that the content. Every conversation has two levels, the content level and then the relationship level of the person you're talking to. So see if you can relate to this. You're talking about the fact that something made you mad, that she was late, or and you had to get, something done, blah, blah, blah. So you're saying something about how frustrated you are that she's late, and you're mad and you're disappointed, and all of a sudden her feelings are hurt. All of a sudden she's no longer talking about what happened. She's talking about the relationship and how you just made her feel. And in that moment, you could be talking about the price of tea in China. It doesn't matter. And this is pretty standard for men and women. Women move to a relationship pretty fast, and men are like, "Wait, I just said you were late. I didn't, it wasn't a personal confrontation. It was just, I'm disappointed you're late. You're disappointed in me." And it becomes this whole relational conversation. And I tell my couples, you got to drop the content, go to the relationship, and revisit the content later. And that has helped so many men, and more practical women go, "Oh, so they got all touchy-feely on me, and I was like, what happened?"
That's
You're
funny.
laughing. Do you relate?
Yeah, and I'm not going to bring up the stories as to why, because this is not going to be like Dr. Phil digs into Zeffin's personal life here for
Oh,
this
but we
one,
could.
but
I have a whole Ask Susie site and podcast series we're working on. So, yeah.
awesome. So there will definitely be an Ask Susie in the future, I'm sure.
Fabulous.
Maybe submitted anonymously. We'll have to
Always. I tell
see.
people, and it's really funny, I always call my clients Sally or Bob or Joe, and they're all anonymous. But honestly, Zeffan, here's the deal. Relationships are hard, relationships are messy, and relationships are wonderful. I call them marvelous and messy. And if we're honest, I've been in this business for 20 some years, and there's days my husband is like, "Oh gosh, I live with her. I love her, but So we all mess up. We all make mistakes. And I think I go back to that great quote by Teddy Roosevelt about being in the arena. It's so hard, I think, for guys and gals when they feel like I can't get it right. And if we're doing well over here at work, why do we want to go into this mess about relationships where I'm just going to feel like I got it wrong? And I want to say, you know what? Being in the mess is half the battle. And I don't think we do a good job communicating that and saying, "I just like that you engaged." Does that make
That makes
sense?
sense. Yeah. And so is there like some sort of an equation, or I mean, here's the deal. Like, everyone is different. I get it. Like, there is no like, hey, if you just buy her flowers and give her chocolate, you will live happily ever after. But is there some sort of aspects of a relationship that every relationship has to have, like on a foundational level, to make it work?
Yes, I would say that. And I like the term mostly happily ever after. So I talk about these in my book, Listen, Learn, Love. And basically, it's three fundamental skills. We all need to learn to listen to one another better. We all need to learn each other, and we need to love well. And let me just unpack maybe one tip from each one. How's that
Sure.
sound? So see if you can relate to this. A lot of times when people are talking to us, and this could be a client, it could be a mom, a sister, a friend, or a romantic relationship. And while they're talking, what's going on in your head is what you want to say back, right? We're thinking about our response, which means we're really not listening. And so one of the big things I talk about for relationships, if you want your relationship to improve or you want to guarantee success, you got to pause and pay attention to what the person's saying. And you mentioned earlier the whole, she's talking about something's bugging her, I don't find out what it is for 3 days later. Well, listening to all the nonverbal, listening to all that's going on is so important because people want to feel heard. So that's a really big one. It's just listening kind of below the surface. You know, that's a big, I think we're often ready with our response or rebuttal because we want to make sure we get heard. And so people are like, well, you didn't hear me. And you're like, yes, I did. And you can repeat verbatim what they said, but it really didn't sink in. So I think learning to listen well to each other is a really big part of it. You know, the secret formula and my favorite skill to teach everybody is learn them. And it came from a Southern friend of mine who, when she got remarried, she said, I just got to learn him. And I go, what? I just got to learn him. You know, and I said, what do you mean by that? She goes, I've got to learn him. I've got to understand, you know, who he is, what his moods are, what he likes, what he dislikes in a way that makes him readable. And I took that and I thought a long time about that because we don't often know people as well as we think we do. You know, I have learned that there's a something with my husband where when he had a business and we had little kids, he needed transition time. You know, he needed that time to kind of unwind from the work for him to actually hit the front door and have anything to give our kids. So I tried to learn that he didn't need to hear how bad the day was the first thing he walked in. Or, you know, he knows with me, let's not start a budget meeting with where we've spent too much. Let's talk about the revenue income and then go to the expenses. So you learn how people are wired and how to best relate there. One of the things is candy and, you know, the love languages. Different people like to be told and communicated that you're cared about in different ways. You probably can think of somebody who is like they're the helper. They'll be there and they'll help you at a moment's notice. And their love language is they like helping, their acts of service. And so flowers aren't going to really speak to them. But picking them up from, you know, when their car, you know, breaks down or offering to be involved in their life in a helping way would really be a huge deposit in their bank. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's learn them. And that's, I call it this adventurous treasure hunt. I mean, we, like I said, we've been married for 32 years. I'm still learning things about my husband, you know, and my, I mean, I think let's talk about clients. Sometimes clients, you know, a certain client, Michael Hyatt wrote a post recently about, actually somebody on his blog wrote a post about these funky socks and, you know, how somebody just admired one of his inner circle socks and they sent him a gift the next day about fun socks. So just learning and listening to people about what they might want and what they might need. And that works with clients and, you know, siblings and family members as well. The last thing is what I call love well. And I have every client go, well, is it loving enough? What's this well thing? You know? And I think even Bob Berg even talks about this in The Go-Giver. There's times when in any relationship, if we can put ourselves second, and it's really hard to do. You know, for me with a client recently, they were trying to enlist me to be their VIP coach, and it wasn't a good fit. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I know you really want to work with me, but at this point, I want to refer you. I gave up income. I gave up some, you know, working with this prestigious client, but really it was better for them to move into this other arena. And so loving well is that sacrificial moment where you might say to a client, you know, either let me refer you or why don't you buy my mid package? And every businessman is going to roll his eyes and go, oh, or woman, oh my gosh, you never downsell. But imagine if later that person said, you know, Zeffan was so honest with me about my packages. I want to refer you to him. Or I really respected you. And so I'm going to go ahead and up my membership, those kind of things. So it's really about putting the other person first. And that applies to personal relationships as well. You know, loving well in a personal relationship means being an entrepreneur. Maybe you had a great day. Maybe you landed a big client and your spouse or significant other had a lousy day at work. So what you do is you call your buddy who's the entrepreneur and you rah-rah with him and then you're there for, you know, you're not rah-rahing all over somebody who just had a really bad day. So it's just those little things, those simple skills applied specifically can make a huge difference in relationships.
So that kind of leads me to wonder as far as juggling all this and how it works, because I know right now personally, I'm in a phase where it's like I'm up at 8 o'clock and working, And I don't stop sometimes until 11 o'clock at night. Sometimes it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Because I, right now at the time of recording this interview for our summit, like I've got 40 people to talk to on top of my podcast interviews. And, I run a video company and this and that. So it's like
Sure.
I'm used to working from 8 a.m. until midnight. So for me, obviously, right now is not the best time to start a relationship, but
Yeah, I
for,
wouldn't say so.
yeah. Well, that and I'm traveling, but for people who, are interested in creating a relationship and or making one that they already have better, how do we balance this work-life thing? Because, it's one thing for if we're married to someone and they leave for work at 8:30, they're there from 9 to 5, they're home by 5:30 and make dinner. That's one thing, but what if I'm the person who's like right now at home all day? Like, what do I do about that?
You bring up a really good question, and I'm going to address it in two ways. One is I'm not a big fan of balance because it's very static. I'm a big fan of harmony. And if you think about an orchestra, if you've ever heard an orchestra play or an opera or even a music, even just a great song on the radio, there's times when different parts are more robust and more louder than other times. So if you know, I like to, orchestra's a little easier where there's times when the string section is just quiet and it's all brass and timpani. And there's other times where it's just the beautiful violin or cello, and you really kind of have that, mode and mood. And if you look at life that way, it's a whole lot less pressure because balance to me is like never moving, but harmony means sometimes things are going to be louder than others. So let's take your life right now. You, if you were in a relationship, your significant other would be like, hold the phone, like you're really busy. So you'd have to be able to do two things. You'd have to say, okay, this little season, I'm going to be really loud with some business stuff, but I have carved out one or two things just for you. It might not be as much, when you compare them, but it is very intentional. And I do a whole thing with my entre spouses. That's what I call entrepreneurs who are married, about profit. And you take this idea of profiting in your business and you bring it into your marriage. And so there's times when you're just really intentional about the time. So you might be working from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., but you might say, you know what? But on, Wednesday night when you get home for dinner, I'm gonna turn off and I'm gonna just give that time to you. Yes, it's only one evening. Yes, it's only 4 hours, and we'll do whatever you want, but it's just for you. And then you work your hardest to be 110% present in that time. And you don't use your smartphone, and you don't, when an idea comes for your next, podcast, you say, hey, give me a sec. You write down the idea, you come right back. And that's a huge thing for entrepreneurs. We are like idea insomniacs. Like we're always with ideas. And I think our significant others go, can you just pay attention to me? And so it's that I'm going to be 110% with you in this intentional time. And then I'm going to be 110% in this longer, cycle of business. And then you have to come back around later. And remember, there needs to be a longer cycle with personal. So it really is about what makes a beautiful orchestra piece versus one little section.
So this isn't to say, and I like that you said that balance is not really the best way to put it, because balance implies that it's kind of stagnant.
Got it.
So I really do like that. This has been interesting so far. I'm curious, is there anything up your sleeve that you've thought to bring up at this point in time? Because I know we've gone through a lot of different things. Is there anything that you'd love to share with people when it comes to relationships, when it comes to being an entrepreneur? What is it that really lights you up when you're talking to these couples?
That's such a great question. And just one thing that lights me up. I think if I was going to say one thing to every entrepreneur is to remember that the relationships are usually why you're doing what you're doing to start with. We get into business, we work hard because we want to have impact somewhere. We don't do it, even if it's just, it's to make money, to have a lifestyle, or to give to a cause, or to provide for a family. So if you pause long enough, you will realize that your why really is about people. And often it's those very people that are, yanking your chain, banging on the door, upset with you for something. And it's really easy to forget that. So I always go back to why. Why am I driven to do this? I have an empty nest. My husband and I, we joke every night's date night. So I can look at him and say, hey, I'll see you at 3 in the morning, or you're not going to see me for 2 days. I'm writing my book. And we get that. Does that make sense? But the why of it is what that person is. So I'm working now maybe to provide for, the future or for a cause I like. But that piece, that people piece, we have to keep sight of that. So that's a huge thing that I think is important. My other big thing is I think entrepreneurs go, oh my gosh, it takes this much work to create success in my business. I don't have this much to give my relationships. And I want to go, don't. Let me tell you how to give this much and have a 10,000 fold ROI on giving this much. And then you go, oh, I can do this much. You know, I can set a you know, alarm in my phone to remind me to tweet my, you know, to text my wife or to buy flowers or to say thank you or to show up for my kid's game. And we can be very streamlined and use very, very strategic ways of being involved. And that, I think every entrepreneur I coach goes, I can do a drip campaign with my spouse. I could do a drip campaign with my kid, but thank you for making it not massive action.
It's funny that you bring that up because I think at one point in time, and so here's the point that I'll get to and then I'll circle back. I've had relationships too where you want to do everything for them. You want to be that person that's always around. Hey, I'll show up to your work and bring you lunch and then I'll be there to cook you dinner at night. And these things are great. But there is a point where it goes too far, where you're there for them so much that you don't even have the time for yourself or for your business. So I think that's important. Now, with that being said, we live in a great day and age of technology. And I read an article once about how this guy actually outsourced and hired a VA to essentially type up 365 text messages, all of, hey, gorgeous, good morning, you know, really nice things. And he automated the texting of that to his girlfriend. Now, hopefully they didn't break up and she didn't keep getting those after the breakup. But I'm saying, like, there are things like that that make all the difference in the world because it really is the thought that matters. And if it's all stuff that, you know, that you would have said normally and it aligns with who you are, then I don't know. I kind of say go for it.
I would agree. Let me actually give you an example of what I did with one of my clients, which is because I do agree, we have to make time for ourselves and our personal space. And so if you've got this business and then you need your own personal recharge time and then you have relationship time, you're like, okay, I ran out of day way back here. So I have this client and he works night shifts and he is a very introverted internal processor. And he was newly married and he was really struggling because on the way home, it was his wife's morning and she was like, you know, and she was a words girl. She wanted all these words. And he was like, the energy for me to think up something to say and to have a conversation that she's going to be happy about is so exhausting. And I'm already tired from working the night shift in a pretty high stress job. And so what am I supposed to do? Because no matter what I try, she gets mad. We literally, you know, he's a little old school, so we literally took a sticky note and he put it on his dash of his car. I said, when you have energy, think of a few things you love about your wife. Think of some nice things to say that really are you. Put them on a note, a sticky note in your car, and then when you call her, you've already thought of them when you had energy. Go ahead and just say them because it was the energy of thinking it up in the moment that was so draining. And so he was like, really? I was like, she doesn't need to know there's a sticky note there. And if she does, you look at her and you say, hey, I'm doing something.
Just don't let her borrow your car.
Yeah. Well, but even let's say that. Let's say the girlfriend finds out he automated the texts. The comment I would make is, I thought to do that. I wanted you to get this, and I realized I'd forget. So setting it up on a schedule was my way of caring for you. You know, so I think we have to be really filled with grace and understand that people's efforts, I think efforts go a long way. It's one of the few times good intentions really have weight versus just the result.
Yeah, and I know that I would probably be the first one to figure out, not necessarily, I don't want to automate a relationship. I want it to be me and be genuine. Sure. But I think that there are certainly ways to go about making it known that you care in the time span that you have because, you know, I mean, we're working most of the day. So I'd love to be able to show somebody that I thought of them throughout the day, even if I didn't have the time to send them the text or give them the call. So that's a cool thing. Maybe we just started a new business there of like record a voicemail that automatically gets sent to your girlfriend, like on her lunch break or something.
That's great. That's great. You set up the recording. I'll do all the messages that you should read.
Okay. Awesome. So, and anyone, if you're listening in there, we already copyrighted it, so don't even try. Right. But you have a great gift that you're giving out to everybody today, and I'd love for you to also share your website where people can keep track of what you're doing and how they might be able to, maybe they want to submit a question to your,
great,
to your show. So
Thank you. I'll do that. My basic hub is susiemiller.com, and that's SUSIEMiller.com. And that you from that place, you can find out about my podcast, my Better Relationship TV. I have tons of free resources for relationship building. I also came up with a very special one for the Life Rescripted. And on SusieMiller.com, Life Rescripted, just / Rescripted, there's going to be an infographic of this little relationship thing I talked to you about. So they can print it out, post it, and they've got, you know, 9 tips right there to immediately make their relationships better.
Awesome. And so it's Susie, S-U-S-I-E, Miller, MILLER.com/rescripted.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. No dashes or anything?
Nope.
Just want to make sure we got that URL for everybody.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Susie, that's the Miller, freebie. And then, yeah.
SusieMiller.com/rescripted. Got it.
Right. And then my hub is SusieMiller.com, and they can find out lots there.
Awesome. And so you're starting this Ask show soon. Have you started it yet?
I've started gathering questions. So there'll be a place they can go on the Start Here menu that they can find a place to go to ask questions. Yeah.
Awesome.
Because I started, you know, my podcast, I interview tons of entrepreneurial couples or entrepreneurial about relationships. And there's always a time when they ask me a question and they start getting, you know, I do coaching right there on the call live. And I thought, you know, they always say, can I ask you a couple more? And so I said, just submit them and I'll start doing a midweek podcast. So that'll probably start mid-fall or early 2016.
Very cool. Well, thanks for sharing some time and some knowledge with us. And I hope to speak with you very soon because you live like kind of practically down the street.
I know,
so
isn't that fun?
We'll definitely
thanks
hang
for
out.
Having me, Zeffin. I'm so excited about this. I do think people need to remember there's always hope. Relationships, you're one choice away from making a difference.
Awesome. Thanks so much for spending some time and I'll talk to you soon.